Well, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
They're going to keep taking up the offering. Just want to draw your attention to an announcement in the bulletin, or the announcement in the bulletin. And if you take a moment, just look at those real quick. I know they may have covered those with you already. But basically what I want to let you know is that over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking more and more about the move. That's just what I'm going to call it, the move. We are working now to begin. We have 13 weeks to remain in this facility of worship before we move to the other location of our other campus. So in order to make that transition from this campus to the other and have two services there, there is a lot of things that need to be done. Some of the things I've listed here are on have a description of some of those, but here's the bottom line. We're going to need your help. If you're sitting in this room, I need... The church needs, the congregation needs your help to do this. You can't look around and say, well, those people over there will do it, and there's not really anything that I can contribute or be a part of. We're going to need every individual in here to help with the transition to the other campus. So that we're going to begin to form various teams to begin working on this. One of the first teams that's going to have to be formed is a homecoming team. Homecoming is a time when we come together and we invite everybody back to the church or back to this worship or to a worship service who have ever been here. You understand the homecoming concept from football, from schools, from high school homecoming or reunions or homecoming at the college. This is what we do in the church as well. So that is one of the big things that's going to happen on March the 17th. And when that happens on March 17th, that will be one service at the Langston campus. The following week, which will be March the 24th, is when we begin two services at Langston, and we will no longer be in this Wesley campus. So there is a lot of things to accomplish or to get done in that 13-week period, including some facelift and remodeling that has to be done at the other campus, various teams or organization of leadership. I can't even give you all the stuff that has to be done. It's just a lot. Homecoming itself would take a ton of people to do and to get involved, to invite people, get them back, advertise it, prepare food, and all that stuff for that day. But we're moving to church at the same time. So we need your help. So please, 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 if we fail to personally ask you on one week or another week or something to serve on this, come to us and volunteer. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do not wait to ask. If you see something that needs to be done, jump in. You don't need, if you need it, I'm going to give it to you. You have my permission to help any way you can, okay? Don't say, oh, I got to check with Dorsey or they're going to have to take a church vote to see if I can help. You come and start being a part and being active, okay? Does that make sense? Do not think, well, I can't contribute. There's something that you can do or to help in this move, or you wouldn't be here. God's brought you here for a reason. That's to be a part of this congregation, I believe, and that's where we're going to move forward with this congregation. So we're all going to be working on this together. So has everybody got that? So that's a side note. So now we're going to let them start the video. If they have already started, they can cut that part out when they put it on the website. So my name is Dorsey Atkinson, and I'm the pastor, and it's good to have you here this morning. And how many of you have already taken down your Christmas decorations? All right, so y'all are the nerds in the room. You got them up. How long? I'm just saying, don't take offense to that if I called you a nerd and all, but you're the ones that you took all that time to put it up and decorate it. As soon as Christmas is over, got to get it down because we got to get on to the next thing. Got to get on to, is that right? Now, at our household, we may leave them things up for 2 months. I don't know. It just depends on how long it's going to take me to get that stuff or Jody to get it boxed back up. And once she gets it boxed back up, I have to move it back up in the attic. Because, you know, over years you accumulate a lot of ornaments, especially when this Hallmark tries to convince you need to have the baby's first Christmas, the baby's second Christmas, the third Christmas, fourth Christmas, you know, the baby's 29th Christmas, you know. So we've accumulated a lot of stuff, but we've got to get it all back. So it's like there's this part where we're coming to this transition between Christmas and the New Year's. And I just want you to slow down for a minute because everybody's amping up because all of us, how many of you feel like you've been off schedule? Does anybody feel like their routines, that Christmas has, you know, the days off? How many of you have actually lost track of which day of the week it was over this last couple of weeks, right? I was like, well, is this Monday or is this Tuesday? I thought the day was Wednesday or... And so we're looking forward to getting back into a regular schedule, into a routine. But here's what I want to talk to you about. We've had this big experience of Christmas, where we encounter Jesus. So the question I have is, how do we have a Christmas encounter with Jesus and then return to our work, return to our school, return to our homes, actually return to our lives differently? How do we have this encounter with Jesus and we leave differently than when we came in? How does this Christmas become different than all the other Christmases before this one? Where are you heading after encountering Jesus this Christmas 2018? Now, you may or may not have encountered Jesus. I'm hoping that you encountered Jesus. I'm hoping that you encountered God, Emmanuel, on earth, and Jesus through this whole Christmas season. I pray that in all the hustle and bustle that you didn't forget about what the reason for Christmas is. It's about Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, coming to earth in human form to walk among us, to talk with us, to guide and direct us, to take the scriptures that had been written about God's desire for humanity and to live them out in a time and a place that would make it so difficult to live it out. And then to give us practical principles and guidelines and even the Holy Spirit to guide us in the future so we could all walk that path of loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength, and loving our neighbors ourselves. The two things that God, that when Jesus was asked, when he was an older gentleman, when he was in his 30s, and he was teaching, the guy asked him, said, "Hey, I just want to know, how do I inherit eternal life? How do I get to this heaven? How do I inherit this life?" He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbors yourself." So this is the destination. This is where we want to be. This is where we want to go as Christians. As followers of Jesus, this is where we want to go. So how do we have this Christmas encounter with Jesus to be reminded of who He is, to be reminded of what God is doing for us, and then now we have to return back to our work or to our school or to our homes or to our lives differently? Romans 2:12, Paul talks to a group of people and he says this. He says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." In other words, Paul is saying, when you encounter Jesus, when you have this encounter with Jesus as a little baby at Christmas, or when you have Him as an encounter with Him as your Savior, when you've encountered Jesus, God doesn't necessarily take you out of the world. In fact, I would say He doesn't take you out of the world. There's some moment of time, some amount of time where you are in the world after encountering Jesus, and you have to stay in the world. So the question is, how do we not conform to the pattern of this world? How do we be in the world but not be like the world? Well, Paul says we have to transform ourselves, or we have to be transformed by renewing our mind. We got to get our minds right. We got to get our heads right. We got to get it up here. I don't know how that translates to you. Sometimes mind is in here, my body. We have to pull it together and go, how do I cognitively renew my mind, remind myself that I'm in the world but not of the world? I'm in the world, but I don't have to follow the patterns of the world. Because when I do this, what Paul says is you will be able to test, to check it out and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing will. And isn't that what each of us wants to know? When we really get down to it, isn't that what you want to know, is what is God's will for me? What is God's desire for me? I want to know what God's desire is for you, and I want to know what it is for you. I want to know what it is. I'd love to know that. But what I really want to know is, what is God's will for me? What does He want? What is He looking for from me. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, God wants something from me. Now you turn back to that other person and you tell them, and you need to know what that is. Do you understand? Many people know that God wants them to do something. Many people understand this, but they don't know what that is. It's like we're setting out on a destination. It's like we get in this ship. We get on this boat, and we're heading to a destination. We want to know what God's will is. God's will is right over there. There's God's will for us. And we set out on this boat, in this ship, on this huge sailboat, and we're heading that way, and we're in the world. We're on the lake. We're on the water, and all of a sudden, the wind blows, and it takes us this direction. And it's no longer do we can still see, or we think we can see where God's calling us to be, but our boat is going this direction. See, some of us have gotten off our path. Some of us have deviated from the path of God's will for our life. Deviated from what God's called you to be. And some of us, we're not 100% certain of where that is, but we've deviated even from that part of what we didn't know. What we just slightly understood, we've deviated from that. All because of the wind. It's the wind's fault. The wind has blown me off course. The wind has taken me this direction. That's like saying, I was heading to being a good person. I was heading to do what God was calling me to do. But I had to go to work. And you know how those people are at work. They just have so much influence. I felt like I was supposed to be making a difference. I felt like that during this Christmas season, my encounter with Jesus, I felt like I was supposed to be a light. I was supposed to be this light in a dark world. And yet the wind keeps blowing my light out. The wind keeps blowing me in a direction to where I'm just affected by everything around me. Jimmy Dean. Many of you don't know Jimmy, or maybe Jimmy Dean, many of us know from being the Jimmy Dean sausage or Jimmy Dean breakfast sandwiches or whatever. But Jimmy Dean, if that's the way you know him, Jimmy Dean used to be a country music singer. And actually, he was an actor in a James Bond film at one time, if you go back and know those parts. But Jimmy Dean once said this. He said, I can't change the direction of the wind, but I can adjust my sails to always reach my destination. You see, I don't know what's happened to you. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what's taken you off path, and if you are off path. But for most of us, we're a little bit off. We're heading to it. We're following what God's called us to do, and we're just a little bit off. Have you ever felt like you were close but just weren't there? Now, you don't know how you got there, but the whole point is you're there. Now, we could get mad. We could get upset, and we could say, I quit. I don't want to play anymore. This isn't fun. You keep changing target. God has never changed the target for you. God has never changed what His will was, what His will is for you. We've changed. We've drifted. We've moved. But His will for us, His will for you to be a light in a dark world, to join with other lights, to make a brighter place, to guide and direct, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, to love your neighbors, has never, ever, ever changed. We've just drifted from that. And what Jimmy Dean says is he says, I can't change the direction of the wind. I can't change how the wind, how the world blows. I can't change how the world happens. And the world could easily, the wind could easily blow me off path, but there's something I can do. For many of us, we just let it keep taking us off, keep taking us off track. We keep hanging around people that takes us off track. We keep doing the same things that we've done in the past that took us off track, rather than making a change. So how do we live in this world and yet be transformed? I would say it's by applying the RAD principle, R-A-D. It's an acronym. RAD stands for reflect, adjust, and do. Reflect, adjust, and do. We need to reflect on where we are, how we got here. We need to reflect on where we're going, what our destination is. And at this time of the year, these next 48 hours as we finish up 2018, I can promise you this, there is nothing that you can do about December 14th, 2018. Any more than you can do about December 14th, 2017, 2016. You can't do anything about the past right now. Nothing. You can't go back and change. Despite all the movies, despite all the things that says you can go back in time, you cannot change your past. If you've been blown off path, if you've been taken off path, you are where you are. The question is, where do you want to be? Are you where you want to be? We've all made mistakes. We've all done things that we shouldn't have done. We've all said things that we shouldn't have said. We've all repeatedly made mistakes. Some of us are knuckleheads and we do it like 10 or 15 times. I know what eating all the Christmas candy will do to me if I eat it all the candy in my stocking over a one-week period. You can't eat all that candy in your stomach. Well, you can actually eat it in 1 week. Actually, you can eat it in 2 days. I've done that one too. But that's not what's best for me. It's best to scatter that out over time, or it's going to have an effect on me. So how do we do this? How do we reflect the just and do? Let me tell you a story. This time of the year, this story, this week and next week is a pivotal time when people hear this story. It's the story of the wise men. The wise men are the magi. They came to see Jesus. These magi, these wise men, come from what they call the East. They come from a territory far from Jerusalem and not anything like the culture of Jerusalem. They weren't Jewish people. They were just, in fact, magi or wise men can also be translated into astrologers. Sometimes they translate into sorcerers, warlocks, witches, whatever you want to say. They translate it into all kinds of things. These people, this group of men that we know as wise men, sometimes they depict them as three wise men because they brought three gifts that's recorded: gold, frankincense, and does anybody know the last one? Myrrh. Okay, so you know this story. You've heard this story. So they brought these three gifts, but it's assumed that there's three. It probably wasn't three. It probably was a caravan. Because this group came carrying gold, frankincense, and myrrh, these valuable things. I don't think they're just going to put that in their camel's saddlebag and drive along and not have some protection. You understand? They're going to be packing heat. They're going to have sword. They're going to have somebody that's going to protect that. And so they come from this distant land. Now, that doesn't mean it's the Orient distant. What it means is it's far from Jerusalem. In fact, because of their title of magi or wise men, we understand that they don't necessarily do things like they do in Jerusalem. But somewhere or another, I personally believe it came because of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thousands of years earlier. They had some of the scriptures. And they were able to read and interpret the prophecies. And they were able to be taught by someone, probably like a Jewish boy like Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego. As you know, Daniel, or you may not know, Daniel at one time was put over all the magi, all the sorcerers, all the astrologers because of how God was working with him. And I believe in that position of authority that God placed him in after being taken away from the culture and the world he knows, Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego was placed into the world far from where they had been brought up. Far from the understanding of what to eat, the dietary restrictions required of a Jewish man or female. Far from how to do that. They were in the world, but yet they chose not to be of the world. And what they did was they stayed connected to God. When they got taken captive, when they were taken captive as little boys, they decided in their head, you might put us in this place, you might make us captive, but we don't have to do it the way that you do it. We're going to do it the way that we were taught, what our God has called us to do. And so they wouldn't eat the type of food that they would eat. They wouldn't drink the type of things they would do. And what happened was God blessed them because of their obedience, and they began to be elevated to where they were the leaders of all these people. So in my mind, and in my research, I believe that is how hundreds or even a thousand years later that these current magi knew about the prophecies of the Jewish God, the God of all things. Therefore, when they see this prophecy and they read these prophecies and they see this star, it comes to them, we should go and worship that king. And in fact, let's take him some gifts, because this is a big deal. It's probably, for them, they're probably thinking, everybody in the world is probably coming to worship this king. He's got his own star and everything. Let's go. And they pack up and they go. And as they come to Jerusalem, they're not, maybe they're familiar with the area, maybe not, but they come to the headquarters of the Jewish nation, to Jerusalem. And they come to the king of the Jews. And they go not to Jesus, but to the declarated, or the king of the Jews that the Romans put in place, King Herod. And they come to Herod, who was a psycho. Herod was, he had, I won't say the Napoleon complex, he was worried about everybody taking his position. He knew these prophecies. In fact, he knew that the king of the Jews was coming, and he knew that he wasn't the born king of the Jews, he wasn't the chosen king of the Jews, he was the appointed king of the Jews. But he liked the job. He liked the title. And so because of that, he began to build various castles and various places for him to move from location to location to keep from people having an assassination attempt on him, because the people didn't like him. The people didn't like him, but the Roman government, who put him in that position as a puppet leader, did. In fact, he was so worried about it, he killed a couple of his own sons, thinking that they were going to take over his throne. This guy was a nut job. He put so much burden on the people. He hated the people. He didn't care about people. He cared about keeping his position. When you kill one or two or more of your children to keep your position, you got a problem. And Herod had one. And that's who these wise men came to visit. And they come up and they visit the white, they visit the king, and they say, hey, we have come to worship the king of the Jews. We've seen his star, and we figure he was here because this is the castle and the headquarters, so we came here. And Herod says, time out. And he goes back and he confers with his scholars who know the scriptures. Hey, man, what you hear what they're talking about? I remember reading that when I was in Sunday school class. I remember reading that sometime when I was younger. But tell me, where is this king of the Jews going to be born? Be born. Not appointed, but born. He comes from a descendant. He comes from the line, a lineage. All the Old Testament points to the lineage of Jesus, how he was connected to the line of David. He was connected all the way back to this Jewish heritage. He's like, where's he going to be born? They said, well, King, we've known this for a while. We just didn't want to upset you, but he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem? Bethlehem, that little old town. You're talking about that little hope-you-like-it town just down the street there? It's only about 5 miles down the road. Now they all backing up like, oh, yeah. All of Jerusalem was distressed because they're thinking, what is this king going to do? What is this king going to do, King Herod, when he finds out his replacement has been born? After he's killed his children, after he's done this other stuff to try to protect his kingdom, what will this idiot, this crazy man do? He's going to be born in Bethlehem. So the king goes back to the wise men. You know this story. Y'all have heard this story before, right? I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I'm just going to help you out a little bit if you didn't understand some of the details. So he goes back, the king goes back to the wise men. He says, hey, Bethlehem, that's where he's going to be born. That's where it is. As a matter of fact, come over here to the side. No, I don't want these other guys to hear this. You come over here. So he puts his arm around. He's sort of talking to him. This is me just telling him. He said, hey, listen, you go and you find him in Bethlehem. He's somewhere in that little town. It's not a big town. It won't take you long to find him. Just, you know, you come this far. Go ahead and work for me. And go find him. And when you find him, and when you finish worshiping, you come back to me and let me know where he's at. I need the address, the street address. I'll probably need the zip code so I can Google it. I can Google Maps it, you know, and I can find that. And just let me know, and I'll come right there. And yeah, I'll go worship him. Wink, wink. He's not going to worship him. What do you think he's going to do? If he killed his sons, what do you think he's going to do when he knows the place of Mary and Joseph and that baby? What do you think he's going to do? He's going to kill them. In fact, history tells that he did this. Because he asked the wise men, he said, hey, when did you see that star? And they said, oh, it was about a little over a year ago, maybe. So they told him sometime that they saw the star, right? After they leave, and a little bit later, Herod has his decision, says, the safest thing for me to do is to kill all the male Jewish children that are under the age of when they saw that star. So every child in Bethlehem, 2 years and younger, every male child, he ordered executed, trying to kill the chosen Messiah, the lineage Messiah, God's Messiah. But in a dream, and this is a later story, God tells Joseph to take and flee to Egypt, and takes his son Jesus to Egypt and his wife to Egypt. And they take refuge there until Herod dies and another son takes over. And then they come back. But that's another story for another day. So now we get to this point. So we go to verse 9. It says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. So this star, this light, I don't know what it was. But whatever it was, it guided them not just to Jerusalem, to the king. They got close, but it wasn't where he was. So in that moment, they had to reflect on what they came for. If you remember, their purpose for coming was, we want to worship the newborn king. That's their purpose. That's their destination. When they come to Jerusalem and that king is not there and they're told it's in Bethlehem, what do? They adjust. They adjust their plans, they adjust their things, and they head to Bethlehem. They get up and they move and they do what they're just, and they head to Bethlehem and they find Jesus. It says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed on coming to the house. Now we start to hear, I thought he was in a stable. I thought there was, no. Remember, he's a little bit older now. Mary and Joseph didn't travel right after Jesus was born. They waited a little while, possibly a year, possibly two. We know they were there at least 8 days because he went to be circumcised in the temple. We know that they did the Jewish traditions and things of that nature. So the point is, now we know that they weren't in a stable at this time. They already maybe rented a house, maybe doing something there. Maybe Joseph is like, maybe I'll just stay in Bethlehem. Maybe stay here till the child gets older. You don't want to travel with a child across the wilderness I don't know. But they're in a house. And when they saw the child and his mother married, they did what they came to do. They bowed down and they worshiped him. These people who didn't understand completely the Jewish culture. They knew that God had put inside of them. In some way they understood, that's where I need to be. And despite Herod's attempts, despite the world's attempts to keep them from going there, they made adjustments, they reflected on it, they adjusted, and they did what they set out to do. They came and they worshipped him. They bowed down and worshipped him. And then they gave him their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then get this. Having been warned in a dream not to go back the way they returned to, go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. I want you to understand this. I really want you to grasp this. These non-Jewish guys who were associated with astrologers, sorcerers, warlocks, witches, all of these things, who came from religious cultures that were so different than the Jewish cultures and traditions, God spoke to in a dream to say, don't go back that way. Don't go back to Herod, go a different way. It bought Jesus some more time. It bought Jesus, little baby Jesus, Joseph, Mary, some time for him to grow a little bit older. Before Herod realized, those guys aren't coming back. And then he made his decision to kill them off, all those little boys. But here's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Even though the wind was blowing for the longest time, the ship, if you will, of the wise men to the king of the Jews, they were a little bit off. The wind took them right to, they had their sails set right to the wrong king, to the evil king, to the bad guy. There's probably times in your life you were heading somewhere and you ended up way off where you wanted to be. You didn't intend to. You didn't mean to. The decisions you made, the choices you made, the attitudes, you didn't intend to be there, but whatever happened, it got you there. You're in a place that you're like, this is not where I set out. And you're probably frustrated. You're probably tired. You're probably thinking back over as you reflect through this, what I could have done differently, what I should have done differently. Should I even have done this at all? And you're in this position. And you're bewildered. And you're wondering, what do I do now? I'm in front of the wrong people in the wrong place. And I'm not where I intended to be. And I've traveled so far. How could God let me travel so far, do so many things, get to this point, and then I find out I'm at the wrong place? See, God's not done because these wise men aren't finished. See, once they get the news that he's in Bethlehem, the winds change. They adjust their sails. They adjust what they control it. They adjust it, catch the wind, in this case, the light, and it leads them that way. And guess what? Remember what it said when they saw the light, the star again? They were overjoyed. Isn't that great when we start making the adjustments to our sails and catch the wind and we see the boat turn to where we wanted to be? May not be moving as fast, may not be moving as consistently, but it's moving toward that direction. And they were overjoyed, and that's the way you're going to be, and I'm going to be, as we reflect on this last year. Remember where it said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself? See, heart to me is love God spiritually. And maybe you tried, started out this year, and you were going to do things, and spiritually you were going to be in a different place than where you are right now. Lindsay and I have been reading through the Bible this year. We got one more day. Is it one more day? Two more days. And you're up to date? We're up to date. There's been times that we were off. I listen to mine. She listens to hers. Sometimes we read it out of the book, but sometimes we listen to it on things, and sometimes she got off, and then there was times where she had to catch up like 2 or 3 weeks or 3 months or whatever. But we caught up. The point is, we were heading to a destination, and all this time, things caused us to change, but we had to make adjustments. The world didn't stop just because I decided to read through the Bible in a year. The responsibilities didn't change just because I decided to get to this destination. The wind kept blowing that way. I had to adjust my sails to catch the wind and get where I'm going. Many of you are afraid to adjust your sails. Many of you, just like myself, have done this way all along. This is what I do every year after Christmas. This is what I do every year, and we don't change, and we keep getting to places we don't desire to be. So maybe that's true in your spiritual walk. Maybe you wanted to read through the Bible. Maybe you wanted to become part of a small group. Maybe you wanted to have a devotional time with God. Maybe you wanted to do something differently, and you got off course, and so you just said, I'm not going to do anything. This is a time to reflect on it. Adjust your sails. The wind hasn't stopped blowing, people. You just haven't adjusted your sails to catch the wind and go where God's calling you to go. What about emotionally? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Soul to me is that emotional, passionate side of us. That part that I'm like, I know I'm supposed to do something. I just want to be all in. I know there's something I don't have, but it's just what you are all in. It's all about you. That you get, it gets you excited when you talk about it. If you talk about helping people, if you're talking about making a little, I think I looked at you, Ashley, and got that. I'm like, man, you cook so good. It's like, man, you just, something feels like I just should cook a pot of stuff and bring it to the family night supper, and then everybody else is going, my gosh, that's the best potato soup we've ever had. I mean, never heard anything like that, and you don't even think anything about it, but the rest of us are just, and what a blessing. Maybe there's things that you're excited about, that gets you excited about, that God is wanting you to start sharing that to help make a difference in this world. And so love Him with your heart and your soul. Love Him with those things that not just are spiritual, but also those things that He's given you a passion about. Love Him with your strength, physically. Some of us physically aren't where we need to be. Health-wise, weight-wise, whatever you want to say. Strength-wise, endurance-wise, we want to do this. Could you imagine if those guys had not been in shape, how difficult of a journey that would be? And you get to Jerusalem and you tell me I got 8 more miles to walk, most of us would quit. Most of us would quit. All I want to do was just get here and go back home. No, we got 8 miles more. We've got to make adjustments. And mentally, some of us just got to get our head on right. Some of us need to make a mental adjustment. Some of us, we read the scriptures, we go through them, some of us hear the sermons, some of us hear inspiring music, some of us see glory sightings all around of what God's doing in our life, and yet, when we hear and see these things, we don't adjust. We still keep going the direction, even if it's wrong. But these guys, and this is where I'm coming from, these guys who were not Jewish priest. These wise men who actually knew a lot of other cultures. These guys who probably were worldly, if you will. Who probably had different food and cultural and dining traditions than the Jewish people. But yet Jesus or the Jewish people had to have strict dietary laws. They had to follow strict sacrificial things that they did. They had to do things about, but they weren't anything like that. And in a dream, God spoke to them and said, don't go back that way. Go a different way. So here they were. They take this, and I'm just telling you, you got to realize the risk of what they were doing. This is the King of Jews, even though he's a knucklehead. Here's the newborn King of the Jews, the Son of God. Yes. But this is the one who's killed his sons, who's a nut. The more we hang around here, we find out how crazy he is. And he told us to come back. And we think something's up. But we're going to do and come back. But then in a dream, God speaks to them, say, don't go back that way. See, what that does for me, and maybe it does for you, is bring you hope. That it doesn't matter where you are in your walk with God right now. It doesn't matter how far you've gotten off the path. It doesn't matter if you've made mistakes. It doesn't matter if you've made them by choice or just the wind blew you off course. It doesn't matter. The God of the universe will still speak to you to get you back on path. To get you back on that purpose. All you have to do is reflect or hear from Him. Spend time with Him and you will hear. And when you hear from Him, then you have to make adjustments. You have to adjust to sail. It's your sailboat. It's your boat. It's your choices that adjust the sail to catch the wind. You know where God's calling you, or at least that direction. You need to follow that. And then you have to have the courage to do. So my challenge for you this next 48 hours, because if every one of us live another 48 hours, it'd be a new year. If every one of us live another 48 hours, it will be a new year. And there is nothing you can do about where you are right now. But there's everything that you can do about where you'll be. So I'm asking you, I'm personally asking you to take the time over the next 48 hours, get somewhere alone. Get away from the TV, get away from the cell phone, and just spend a few moments and reflect on where you are. reflect on how I got here. Think about and reflect on what did I do good to get here? And what did I not do so good? Do you understand? And let that soak for a minute. Just think about it. Don't lie to yourself. That's the first thing. The hardest thing for us to do is to be completely honest and transparent in front of the living God. I promise you, there's nothing that you can say to God that He doesn't already know about you. But there's a lot of things that you need to say to God about you that you need to hear come out of your mouth of recognizing where you are. And then during that conversation, reflecting, have the boldness and the courage to say, God, where do you want me to be? Not where do I want to be? Not where I want to be because I'm where I want to be because I got here. You know, I might wish I was somewhere else, but I never did anything to get a different place. I didn't do anything. I just let it blow me where it goes. But you ask God, where do you want me to be? Where do you want this light that you've given me of your Son, Jesus Christ? What do you want me to do with it? And where do you want me to be? And in that quiet time, and it's just a few moments, people. I'm not telling you to go off and be a monk or go off.